Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Oh God, we bless your name. We worship and adore you, Father. We say that you alone are God, and besides you, there is no other. There is none that is like you. There's none that is besides you. Hallelujah. I lift up my head to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from no one else but the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today, O God. I ask that you anoint my lips and I ask that you pierce the ears of your people. Pierce their heart, O God, and let them receive life. Hallelujah. Like never before. We bless your name, O God. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Yeshua. Hallelujah. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor, all adoration, the Father. Hallelujah. Now you're all welcome. And welcome to today's telecast. Praise God. And we are praying that God will help us to have a clear understanding of what is going on right now all around the world and all uncertainties. It's important to note that with all the troubles and trials and all the temptations that people are going through all around the world, Yeshua still says that we should not be troubled. In the book of John, he said we should be of good cheer. He said, because I have overcome the world. So it means that something is going on behind the curtain. Something is going on behind the curtain. And for us believers, we have been given the opportunity to move the curtain a little bit and look beyond the veil to see what's going on. Of course, we know that beyond the veil or behind the veil, hallelujah, his grace and his mercy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is faithful. So if Yeshua is saying that we should not be troubled, then there must be something, like I said before, that he is actually bringing before us to, and that is to our own advantage. Praise God. Now, I see a lot of believers who are fighting so hard to make things better, you know, making the world better. But that is good, you know, but, you know, I would rather say that in the midst of everything, we should look for the priority of things, okay? To know exactly what can be done. Okay, now, like before this program, right now I'm sitting before my computer and I'm seeing a whole lot of programs, but I have no clue what's going on. Seriously, all I'm just doing is I'm just seeing, you know, words and different programs and all that stuff. But I have a son who is a computer scientist. Even though I'm here, the computer is in front of me. I don't know which button to click on. I have no clue. I really don't know what's going on. If anything happens, I will just pick up my phone and start crying out to my son. My son is not here. He's overseas. But would you believe that from overseas, he has access to the system here, and he's remotely actually controlling and causing you all around the world to see me, to hear my voice and stuff like that. Do you see that? Now, there's something he knows that I don't know. Now, this is the advantage that we have. This is the advantage that you and I have, okay? This is the advantage we have, that there is something that the Father is birthing. Okay, there's a new civilization. There's a new system. There's something that, you know, is so unique that even the kings of this world have no clue, cannot even be granted access into that new world and that new realm. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, coming back to what I said before, patching this world, that's this present age, it's okay to just do that, but that should not be our focus. Because as children of God, we have a new world. We have our own world. We have our own ecosystem. We have our own society. We have our own ways. All right? And what God has been trying to do or work in us is to give us commandments, okay, and give us rules and regulations of that world. But because we have not been fully enlightened, we see it as burdensome. We see it as commandments, okay? And then we see it as very hard rules and regulations that is hard to obey. But really it's not. If you know that that is where you come from, if you know that God is stretching out his hands from the realm and the dimensions of the invisible to try and give you an understanding of how the life that he is giving to you, or the life that you have been born into, or the kingdom you have been born into, he is trying to teach you and help you to see how to live that in that life, or how to live in that world. Please, just let's walk together, okay? Praise God. So if you know that that is how you live in that world, then you know that you're a citizen of that world, it just makes sense, okay, to begin to gain understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, if we look at the book of Romans chapter 12, I would like to quickly rush to there, to Romans chapter 12, okay? Praise the Lord. It says, from verse 1, it says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercy? It says, the best response is to surrender yourself to God and to his sacred living sacrifices. Okay? To be his sacred, is to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices, and to live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. All right? Now, it now says in verse 2, it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. This is very important. There is a culture around you. We are living in a different sphere, a different civilization, different from our own civilization where we come from, all right? It says, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Did you see that? Praise the Lord. It says, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Now, this is the Passion Translation. I believe in King James, it says, be not conformed to this world. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Father, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, you need to understand that any system, any environment you live in, okay, there are atmospheres, okay? There is an ecosystem. Hallelujah. There is an ecosystem that ecosystem, what it does is to influence and affect how you live. Did you hear? Praise God. It actually influences how you live. For example, the people in the UK, in London, they are usually always in a hurry. They are, there is the fashion, the European fashion, okay, which is different from the kind of fashion, okay, or the clothing lines that you find in the US. Why? In the US, the place, the land is very vast, okay, and then the people, all right, have vehicles, all right, and there's large roads, big roads, all right, and there's back and forth. Everyone is on his own. It's not so in the UK. In the UK, the roads are smaller, all right, and then there are trains and there are buses. There are even restrictions that the government doesn't even want you to use your cars every day or something like that. So you see that a lot of people are into train catching and bus catching. So they are always running. So the people in the UK are so well fit. They are always running, running to catch a bus, running to catch a train, running to, you understand? So because of that, all their clothing is trim, okay, and smart. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So what it means is that if you lived in the UK for a long time, say maybe about 18 years, and you didn't travel anywhere. Now, when you suddenly travel after 18 years to a place like the US, maybe a place like Texas or Houston, all right, you will be shocked that you won't be able to move around as you used to. You have to have a car. So why am I using these two cities to explain what I'm trying to say? Because each of these cities, their geographical size is different. Okay? Hallelujah. okay, someone is saying something. Okay, it says, it's time I went to the UK. I was scared and I saw people running. So I asked what was going on. And I was told that the train and the cold. Yes, that's true. Thank you for Bob. Thank you so much for saying that. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, in the train stations in the UK, when it's cold, there's no lounge where you sit down and wait, okay, for the next train. No, there's just an open shed. And you have to make sure that you, cuddle up under your jacket because it's freezing cold, all right? So any opportunity to run, you would want to do that. Can you see that? So the atmosphere, what I'm trying to get across is that there is a unique civilization. There's a unique culture. There's a unique way of life in the UK, all right? And the people in the UK are always running. So you don't see people who are sloppy and fat and, you know, just, I'm not speaking against fat people, okay? Praise the Lord, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that you see people are always on their tiptoe, rushing to catch a bus, rushing to catch a train. And, you know, one time I was traveling somewhere far away up north and I slept off. I was just a train stop before the stop I was supposed to alight from my train. I don't know what happened to me. I slept off. I slept off. Would you believe? I had to follow, and that stop I was supposed to come down was the last stop before the final destination of the train. I had to wait until I got to maybe about four or five stops, and then now had to turn back to come back to where I had to alight. What am I trying to say? That if you are not awake and alert, you are going to have a problem. Praise God. Not like the US. In the US, you just spin your car. And once you miss your way, your GPS will begin to recalculate and now redirect you and give you an option to turn around and go to where you're going. Can you see that? So remember, every civilization, every society, Okay, every people have a culture, have a civilization, have a way of life, have rules and regulations. Okay, and it's those rules and regulations that they abide by to keep the ecosystem, the whole city, the community of people to begin to move in the direction that befits that nation. Now, Yeshua tells us that you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Did you see? You are in this world, but you are not of this world. You belong to another world. You belong to another realm, another country, another people, another nation, a peculiar set of people. Now, if you look at the book of 2 Peter, it tells us in chapter 2, verse 9, First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, am I correct? It says, for you are a chosen generation. Did you see? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar set of people. Hallelujah. And it says that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. So you were formerly in darkness. Now you have been called out of darkness into a new realm, into a new dimension. That's why Yeshua is telling you that you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Just like some Americans that came into Nigeria, okay? They are in Lagos, and their home country is not Nigeria. So they are here for a short while, okay? And the rules and the laws and the kind of things that they know about is their home country. So you and I have to begin to actually become conversant to where we come from. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be God. So, like it says, don't allow yourself, okay? We are in this world. So don't allow yourself to be conformed. Don't allow yourself to be molded and shaped according to the pattern of this world. Because if you do that, you would bring yourself to that place of jeopardy. When you get back to your country, you might not even get access to your country. Why? Because you have been deformed by the tradition and the nature and the genealogy of this world. Now, this is very important for us to understand. If we look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. Now, it tells us this. All right? Now, pay attention. It says, you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So before, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? And we once walked according to the course of this world. You remember I had mentioned that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we are in a transition mode. Did you hear? We are in a transition mode. We should not rest and relax ourselves to this ecosystem and this environment. Why? Because we are in a transition mode. We are in a process. Did you hear what I'm saying? We're in a process. We're heading somewhere. We're heading to our land. So this place is just a preparatory. It's a place where God is giving us preparing us for a journey, or preparing us and while we're here, getting us ready, tidying us up, restructuring us, reconfiguring us, or reprogramming us. Did you see? That's the word of the modern day people, okay? Everybody has a cell phone, has a smartphone. So because of that, you understand applications, and you know how to install, you know how to delete, you know how to reinstall, okay, applications or softwares. So this body, all right, this body is like a programming system. I hope you hear what I'm saying. And it has the ability to adapt itself to the environment or the ecosystem. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I mean, like, if, say, I was born, I'm from the eastern part of Nigeria, and then that's my parents are from eastern part of Nigeria, and I was born in a place like Lagos or Ondo or maybe somewhere like Ibadan, and these two or three states or people group, all right, have their culture, have their civilization, have their way of responding to people, okay? So because of that, I grew up understanding Yoruba language, but I'm actually not from Yoruba land. I'm from the East. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So we have to understand that this is our situation. So rather than us being very comfortable here, okay, we should know that we are in transit. That's what I'm trying to get across. That there's a world that belongs to us. Now, this particular present world, this particular present age, the book of Peter tells us, is going to crash down. Okay? Now, before I go to the next verse, let's see. He says that in time past, say we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, amongst whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with the Messiah. And he says, by grace were we saved. And he raised us up together and made us to sit together with him in spiritual places in Christ Jesus or Christ Yeshua. Now look at verse 7. Verse 7 is very important because it says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ. So which means that we are actually prototype. Did you see? We are actually prototypes, okay? And we are meant to be showcased, all right? So it means that we are being prepared for the world to come. Did you hear? That's why is the Lord is instructing us to conform ourselves and then begin to renew our mind, renewing our mind so that we can be able to easily adjust and live, okay, in that world that we are supposed to be going to. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I remember one time when my son was looking for a school in the U.S. We had to send him to USIS, okay, which is an organization that helps young people who are looking for educational, to further their education. And when he went there, they were teaching him every week. And when they had finished with that course, they taught him how to go to the embassy, how to dress, how to conduct himself. They told him not to chat anyhow. Why? Because that is how they behave there. Now, when you spend all your time chatting and all, they don't want to carry any scumbag into their country. So they look at people who have the brain and the mind, okay? And it's such people that they want to give the visas to. Praise God. They would help you to select your schools, all right? And things like that, and prepare you for the embassy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But those who were unfortunate, who did not have that information, would just go to the embassy and go in there dressing anyhow. I saw a particular guy, he wore a t-shirt, big t-shirt, and put number 5. And then he was walking in the particular way. Of course, he didn't get his visa. Why? Because he didn't know what to do. But my son was told the kind of shirt to wear, the color, how to conduct himself. They told him to take a magazine or a newspaper or a novel. And he should just go there and sit in a quiet corner, not bother to chat anyhow and be studying. Of course, he got his visa. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So praise the Lord. We have to understand that we are, this is not our residence, final residence. Hallelujah. We are preparing to go somewhere. Now, the interesting thing is this, and we should try not to be too comfortable here. Okay? We should try not to be too comfortable here, because if you are too comfortable, what will happen is that you will subject yourself to how to leave, and you drop your guard. And when you drop your guard, you allow the influence of all the systems and the ecosystem and the life and the mannerism of this world, which is a disobedience to the Father. Did you hear? It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It doesn't matter how the cities are. It doesn't matter how wonderful the laws are. The laws are substandard. Why? Because this is a fallen world that we live in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 18, it says that the entire, I'll start from verse 19, it says that the entire universe is standing on tiptoes, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Now, in verse 20, it says, for against it, against his own will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of the human sin, or the sin of the first Adam. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, but now with eagerness, there is expectation. Okay? There's expectation. Why? Because there is a time frame. Now, that time frame, or that time, is at the brink of expiring. Okay? Now, why do I say that? If we look at the book of Matthew, praise God, I'm trying to still build on something. Matthew chapter 24, hallelujah. From verse 6, Matthew 24, verse 6, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, you will hear of wars, this is Yeshua talking, and revolutions on every side. I'm sure you will agree with me that the whole world is in chaos. Praise the Lord. It says, now, with more rumors of wars to come. Okay? Now, Yeshua now says, do not panic or give in to your fears. It says, for the breaking apart of the world systems is destined to happen. The breaking apart of the world system is destined to happen. It says, but the end is not yet. He said, it will still be unfolding. It will still be unfolding. He says, nations will go to war against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be terrible earthquakes, all right, horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. He says, this is how the birth pangs of the new age will begin. Woo! Hallelujah. Did you see that? This is how the birth pangs of the new age. So the wars and rumors of wars, okay, all the disagreements, the disjointments, okay, all the arguments and all the wars, backbiting, tearing apart of things, earthquakes, floods everywhere, okay, pestilences, diseases, and all that stuff. All right? All those things are all bed pangs, and it's all a sign of the beginning of the new age. So there's a new age. Even the secular world knows. Now, if you are very conversant with the news, you will hear, excuse me, you will hear when they talk about the new world order. Now, this is what the rulers or the global elite, They call them global elites. This is what they are trying to do, to restructure and reset the world according to their own pattern. But what they don't know is that God, hallelujah, from, I think it's, is this Psalm 2 now or so, where it says, why do the heathen rage? Okay? Yeah, it says, why did the heathen rage? And why do the, let's quickly look at it. And I'm sorry, I have to read from the Passion Translations again. Hallelujah, Psalm 2. It says, how dare the nations plan a rebellion? It says their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summits as rulers. They scheme and confer together against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, let us come together and break away from the Creator. He says, once and for all, let us cast off their controlling chains, or the controlling chains of God and his Christ. Praise God. You see? So they have their own agenda and their own plan. And their own agenda and their plan is to restructure and reform the world so that there will be perpetuity in the way they have been governing this world. But you know, you cannot govern the world, neither can you rule over people, okay, without the Creator who created them. Even the earth, the Creator who created the earth, you cannot successfully find tenancy. Did you hear? You can't successfully find tenancy on this earth. Nobody has the right to evacuate you from this earth, child of God. Nobody has the right. Nobody has been given the mandate to evacuate you from this present, from this world. But rather, you are the one who is the controlling factor. You are the one, because you are here, this world is still being kept temporarily because you are here. Can you see that? But a time will come when the glory of God, like Isaiah will say, he says that, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. This is Isaiah chapter 60. He says, but yes, there will be darkness. He said the whole earth will be covered with darkness. Of course, darkness here means life without the rules and the regulations of the Almighty God. And it says gross darkness of people. So it means that people who stay in a particular geographical location, if they have darkness in them, then that environment definitely will be lawless. Did you hear? Lawless. But if the people who are in a particular geographical location obey the laws that the Creator has created and set down for people to rule and to live, if you obey, once you live and obey the instructions and the regulations of the Creator or the Creator's manual, you will live according to the purpose and the intentions of the person who created both you and the world or the earth. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. But these rulers don't know your Lord. They don't even know your God. They have another God. They have another Lord. Did you see? And it is the laws. It is the ecosystem. It is the vision, the imagery of a particular kind of life, okay, that their master is giving to them. That is what they are bringing to you. That's why you see them churning out different kinds of diseases. Because that's what they have. Pestilences, that's what they have. They don't have any other thing. And those are the different patterns and ways that they use to govern people. So how could you govern people with such kind of environment? How can you govern people with such kind of pollution? Can you see? With such kind, and then after you say, oh, you want to do renewable, you know, how do they call it again now? Renewable energy or something like that. Okay? And they go into electric cars and all those kind of inventions, you know? And I feel sorry because as wonderful as those things are, a lot of believers are carried away. Now, it's fine to be carried away, but we should understand not to lend, okay, our civilization, the strength and the might of our civilizations to those things, because they, as creative and as progressive as they are journeying, they are actually journeying to destruction, because the lifeline that God has given to the first Adam, which Satan stole the lease from, is coming to an end. Praise the Lord. So you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have the hope of the world to come inside of you. You have Christ in you. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Now, I know people will say, what am I saying? Now, if you look at chapter 5, verse 12 of the book of Romans, you will see what it says there. It says that the gift of grace is greater than sin. It says, when Adam sinned, that's the first Adam, it said the entire world was affected. Sin entered the human experience, and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity, because all have sinned. Now, all did not sin by actually performing the act of sin. All sin by nature. And this is what believers have to understand. And this is why most people have to understand that you came into this world, okay? You came in with the DNA of the fallen man, okay? And the civilization you were born into is a fallen state. But God, who is rich in mercy, has finally saved us by sending his only son, which is the second Adam. And you need to understand that each Adam comes with his own creation and his own ecosystem. Did you hear? Now, the last Adam is called the life-giving spirit. Listen now. He said this last Adam is the Lord from heaven, or the Lord from the Father, and he is a life-giving spirit. Yeshua said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is all Satan has. He doesn't have anything else. But I am the Prince of Life, Yeshua says. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. So the realm of God doesn't have any scarcity. I have news for you that even, hallelujah, that even this particular, yes, someone is saying, wow, each Adam has his ecosystem. Very true. Each Adam has his own ecosystem. Hallelujah. Each Adam, because each Adam is the father of a race of people. The first Adam is earthly. That's what Corinthians tells us. And the second Adam is the Lord from heaven and is a life-giving spirit. So this is a higher species. Did you hear? Now, if you are a movie watcher, you will see there's a movie called Terminator. Now, there is the Terminator 1 and there is 2. I don't remember the different names that they called each one of them. There's one that is called liquid metal. That one is indestructible. Can you see that? So in the same way, there is the first Adam that was subjected to temptation and he fell. But the last Adam did not fall. Did you hear? Even when they showed him the kingdoms of this world in the book of Luke chapter 4, Bible says he didn't fall for it. Even at the Garden of Gethsemane, okay, just before he was arrested, when he was praying, Satan came to tempt him and gave him an option. Hallelujah. And while he was praying, he asked the Lord, he said, look, he asked the Father, said, if there's another way, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, it says, not my will, but your will. So he went through all that the Lord or the Father had given him instructions. So he obeyed the Father unto death, and even the death of the cross. Can you see that? So we need to understand that when the last Adam came, he began to teach us how to live in our world, to forgive. Hallelujah. To forgive. Did you see that? To forgive, praise the Lord, to forgive all people. He says, when they slap you on side, he says, give them the second side of your face. Now, that doesn't mean that you should donate your face for slapping, okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, when someone asks you for one coat, these are all symbols. He says, give him not only the tunic, but give him your coat. If they ask you to escort me for 1 mile, he says, escort for two. Did you see? Now, there is a life. There is an ecosystem. There is a civilization. There is a way of life. Yeshua said, behold, I make all things new. Did you hear? Now, this world, the fabric of this world, the infrastructure, the ecosystem, the governmental systems, you get what I'm saying? What has held this world temporarily, okay? After a while, because of its substandard nature, and not only that, because of the growth, because of the development of the new breed of beings, woo! The new breed of beings that are after the similitude of the last Adam. Hallelujah. These are those who were born not of blood. John chapter 1 tells us, not of the will of man, not of flesh, but these are those who are born of God. Can you see that? It says, these ones, when they come in, they submit themselves to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then the Spirit himself will give them assurance in their spirit that they are children of God. And if they are children, they are heirs. And if they are heirs, they are joint heirs with the Messiah, joint heirs to Christ. Hallelujah. So there is a world that you and I are heading towards. Yeshua said that the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So there is a movement, there is an agitation that is going on. And now when we see the earthquake outside, the earthquake is also inside. Why? Because we are, hallelujah, we are the representatives. We are ambassadors of Yeshua. Hallelujah. We are the body of the Messiah. So you need to be plugged. Make sure you do not give up your space. Hallelujah. Don't give up your lot. Don't give up your space. Because each one of us is plugged in. John chapter 15 tells us that we are branches out of the vine. So it means that we are actually receiving nutrients from the vine, feeding us and causing us to bear fruit, fruits of righteousness, fruits of the nature of God. Did you hear? Now, if you listen, if you go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1, it says that, talking about the Father, he told the first Adam to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth and subdue the earth. Okay? But before he could make any move, the prince of this world, who is called the serpent, deceived his wife, that is Eve, and caused her to fall. And because she fell, the first Adam, okay, now fell along with her by taking the fruit or believing what Satan had told them. It's on purpose, I believe. Okay? I don't want to go into that because I don't want us to be distracted. Hallelujah. Because of that, the whole of creation now came under a contraption that even the earth cannot breathe properly. Did you hear? Now, if you look at the book of Genesis, it tells us that there was a time when there was no man who tilled the ground. So there was a mist that came out from the earth, and it watered the ground. Can you see that? So which means that this earth has the ability by itself, are you getting me, to do what is called scheduled maintenance. Praise the Lord. Now, when you continue, I don't want to be distracted. When you, if I am to just do a small peek, okay, into what I'm trying to say, it's called the realm of Jubilee, the realm of freedom. Hallelujah. Where God would tell the children of Israel not to farm. Okay? He says for first year, second year, third year, fourth year, sixth year, say you may farm. But the seventh year, he says, leave the rest, the land to rest. It's called the Lord's Shabbat. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, the interesting thing is that he also told them, praise God, he told them that they should, when it comes to that seventh year, that sixth year, he will give them a bumper harvest so that they will not say, oh, why can we not farm? What will we eat? So that sixth year, God makes sure that the earth will produce enough, harvest that will take care of that seventh year. I hope you hear what I'm saying. And then, of course, the next year would be planting season or something like that. And there's enough harvest for 3 years from 1 year, 1 year's produce. Now, why? Because there are laws that govern the earth. So the earth can actually, by itself, multiply, by itself, replenish itself. But God told them, subdue the earth. And by that subduing the earth, is do not allow anything in this ecosystem to rule over you. But they submitted to the first Adam submitted. And because of that, sin came into the world and brought this world into disalignment. If we look at the book of Psalms chapter 82, it tells us this in verse 5. It says, but you continue in your darkness, okay? But you continue in your darkness, all right, and ignorance, while the foundations of society are shaken to the core. Now, I don't know if we can read it from maybe King James. Let me see if I can pick it up from King James. All right, Psalm 82 from verse 5. It says, they do not know, nor do they understand, okay? They walk in darkness. And it says, all the foundation of the earth are unstable or have been pulled out of joint. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. It now says in verse 6, I said that you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but you die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. Praise the Lord. It now says in verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth. Let me go to Passion Translation would say. All right? Let's see. Psalm 82. Please bear with me quickly. I know that we are almost running up. It says, now you may read from verse 1 later, but let me just read where I'm trying to focus on. It says, but you continue in your darkness and ignorance while the foundations of the societies are shaken to the core. It says, didn't I commission you as judges? This is the Lord saying you are all like gods. Since you judge on my behalf, you are all like the sons of the Most High, my representatives. Hallelujah. He said, nevertheless, in death, you are nothing but mere men. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you see all the time, God is always calling our attention that we should come up to our responsibility. Hallelujah. Come up to our responsibility. Praise the Lord, so that we can be able to do that which God has actually intended for us to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at either Isaiah, okay? Let me see if I can be able to pick the where I'm trying to. Let's see. Let's see. I'm looking at where I'm looking for where. Okay. Look at 11. It says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Okay, it says, "The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be of the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge according to the sight of his eyes, neither will he decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt," and it continues like that. Okay. If we look at, or maybe I should just complete it. It says, "Righteousness shall be the belt," it says, "belt of his loins." And it says, "And faithfulness, the belt of his waist." All right. Now, verse 6 now says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Okay. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion with the fatling." With the fatling, they will all lie down together, and a little child shall lead them. It says, "The cow and the bear shall graze, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the wen child shall put his hand in the viper's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea." And it now says, "In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse." Hallelujah. Now, can you see? Maybe I should just read verse 10. It says, "Who shall stand as a banner to the people? For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." Praise the Lord. Now, you may continue to read, okay? Hallelujah. You may continue to read later. But what I'm trying to get across is that there is a world, there is a realm that the Father, the fabric of this earth, okay? Let's look at Peter. Okay, let's see. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, when we are saying all these things, please, just give me 1 or 2 minutes, okay? I know that we have crossed the time. Praise the Lord. It says, in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Knowing first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" We have been announcing that there is an end to this age, and there's a new age, and that the Lord is going to come soon. But it says here that scoffers are going to be, scoffers lying and saying, "Oh, where is the coming of, where is the promise of this coming?" And then I say that, "For as the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Hallelujah. It now says in verse 5, "For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished." Now, it's important to note that when the world that existed at that time, you see that in the book of Genesis chapter 6, okay, and maybe 7, that world perished, being flooded with water, which is a type of baptism, okay, which is the type of baptism of the whole, are you getting what I'm saying, of the whole earth, okay? Now, remember, there's the baptism of water, okay, and there is also the baptism of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now look at here now. In verse 5, it says, this they willingly forget, that by the word of the Lord, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now verse 7 now tells us that, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word of God, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is one day before the Lord. And it now says in verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some would count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that all should perish or any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 10 that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Hallelujah. Both the earth and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. It now says in verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in a holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening to the day of the Lord, okay, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, all right, being on fire, and the elements will be burnt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop here today, and hopefully on Wednesday, we'll continue. But don't forget that tomorrow is open book. And hopefully my wife, who is a bit away for a short trip, would have access to minister to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And definitely by Wednesday, we'll continue from this, okay? Because I know that a lot of people are going to ask questions that the world is going to be destroyed and stuff like that and things like that. So we'll, by his grace, be able to explain more. And like I said, we'll be able to see fully that there is a world truly that we are supposed to, a realm that we are supposed to live in. And because of the glory of God that is going to be revealed in us, the whole of creation is waiting earnestly and eagerly for us to come to that place where we would fully express the nature of God and the life and the system and the ecosystem of the Father. Hallelujah. You may take your communion. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to bless the bread and bless the wine in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And don't forget that June, 2nd of June, we have this awesome conference that is coming by his grace. It's starting 2nd of June, and is ending the 4th of June. We would want you to come in person. And if you are elsewhere, maybe out of the country or elsewhere around the world, don't forget to hook up with our Zoom and YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, so that you'll be part of this awesome conference that this awesome conference that we are about to have. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's called the Open Heavens Conference. And the caption is the ecosystem of the age to come. Hallelujah. Please make sure that you register for this conference on Eventbrite, I hope. The media team would provide the access to the registration and things like that. So the earlier you register so that you can, I'm talking about those who are overseas, all around the world, so that you can be part of this conference. And I believe that it's going to be so awesome. God bless you and God keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. See you tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday. Hallelujah. Thank you.